You with informative and entertaining programs. This is the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. A bomb planted on a road in the southern Iraqi city of Basra tore a minibus apart on Tuesday, killing at least three Iraqis and scattering body parts across the road. Witnesses at the scene initially thought four people had been killed due to the dismembered body parts that littered the road. Police said no British troops, who are in charge of policing Basra, were in the area at the time of the blast. A British military spokeswoman said she was aware of reports of an explosion, but had no further details. An Australian lawyer representing some of the suspects held without charge at the Guantanamo Bay military prison in Cuba claimed Wednesday that the U.S. military has tortured terrorist suspects. U.S.-based Richard Bourque, who has been working for almost 2 years on behalf of dozens of detainees at Guantanamo Bay, said American military officials were using old-fashioned torture techniques to force confessions out of prisoners. The methods clearly fell under the definition of torture under international conventions, he told Australian Broadcasting Corporation Radio in an interview from the United States. They are engaging in good old-fashioned torture as people would have understood it in the Dark Ages, he said. An unprecedented array of U.S. intelligence professionals, diplomats, and former Pentagon officials have gone on record to lambast the Bush administration for its distortion of the case for war against Iraq. A new documentary film entitled Uncovered, The Whole Truth About the Iraq War, features one powerful condemnation after another from a former CIA director, two former assistant secretaries of defense, a former ambassador to Saudi Arabia, and even the man who served as President Bush's Secretary of the Army until just a few months ago. The hour-long film was put together by Robert Greenwald, a veteran TV producer in the forefront of Hollywood's anti-war movement. Two dozen interviewees reveal how the pre-war intelligence record on Iraq showed virtually the opposite of the picture the administration painted to Congress, U.S. voters, and to the world. More after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
A California woman who found a condom in her bowl of clam chowder has sued the upscaled restaurant that served it to her, saying she has suffered depression and anxiety from the shocking discovery. She said she first thought the object was a latex glove, then became physically ill when she realized what it was. An attorney for the restaurant says the eatery has no idea how the condom got into the woman's food. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
This is Eric Muller reporting from Chopper 5.
Cut!
News happens fast. Can I afford to let a cold slow me down? Not up here. When I'm achy, with a stuffy nose and a sore throat, I take Advil Cold and Sinus. It's got the power of Advil to handle tough pain, plus a hard-working decongestant. That's why they call it Advil Cold and Sinus.
Quick, over to the highway!
I call it fast relief for a reporter on the fly.
For tough colds, advance to Advil Cold and Sinus. Use as directed.
Walmart, the recidivist criminal, is back in trouble with the law. Jesse James, Bonnie and Clyde, and Al Capone have nothing on this notorious violator of our nation's laws and moral code of behavior. It routinely robs its nearly 1 million workers, depriving them of a fair wage and a fair chance. For example, Walmart illegally compels employees to work an extra hour or so without pay after their shift is over. More than 30 states have filed class action suits against the company for requiring this off-the-clock work. The largest sex discrimination suit ever filed in U.S. history is underway against Walmart on behalf of nearly 1 million women who have worked there. Walmart has been sued more times by federal authorities for discrimination against the disabled than any other corporation. Walmart has been formally cited more than 40 times in the past 5 years for using illegal tactics to deny its workers the right to join a union. Its latest legal comeuppance came recently when the feds raided 60 Walmart stores in 21 states and arrested illegal immigrants working as janitors. The workers in these cleaning crews were being paid below the minimum wage, getting as little as $2 a day working for the richest retailer in the world. "Oh no," cried Walmart executives, "they don't work for us, but for cleaning contractors we hire. And trust us, we had no idea that they were hiring illegal workers and paying illegal wages." This is Jim Hightower saying, what a crock. Walmart is renowned for its elaborate computer network that tracks every cost it incurs down to the penny, and for demanding that its suppliers and contractors pay the least wage possible. Plus, this is the third time in the past 5 years that Walmart has been caught pulling this same crime of using illegal cleaning crews. Not only does Walmart know what's going on, but such exploitation of workers is integral to this corporate criminal's ongoing profit plan.
Xie xie is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Fan ji la is like cool. Yeah,
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Fan ji la.
You know everything. Xie xie. I should have watched MSNBC yesterday.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
For a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome, welcome, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in the American way from coast to coast. This is Tom Hartman broadcasting live on terrestrial stations from the Atlantic to the Pacific, broadcasting from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite radio system, broadcasting around the world. Heard now, so far, we've counted in 91 countries on three different internet stations, radiopower.org being the largest, ieamericaradio.com, this network's website, and also on live365.com. Welcome. It's so nice to be back here and live. Thank you for sticking around through our programs. I was actually in the Chicago airport yesterday afternoon while my program was on the air, and I tuned in from the United Airlines red carpet club there and was able to listen to part of my own show. And I dropped into the chat room and had a nice little conversation with some of the folks there. If you'd like to drop into the chat room where we have live chat during the 3 hours of this program, it is just go to www.tomhartman.com, click the chat link. It will take you to one of the forums on CompuServe. Click the chat button there, and boom, in you are. And it's a really nice, fancy chat software where you can have private chats with individuals. You can have public chats. You can change the color of your talk. It's really cool. Very, very nice. So, boy, lots and lots of interesting news. So much happened. All the time I was gone, I was, pulling things out of newspapers and marking them up. I came back with a great big huge pocket full of stuff. I can tell you, the consensus among the German people that I talked to, and I talked to a lot of them, and it's interesting, the conference that I was at, there were people from 11 different nations, but I'll get to that in a second. But the consensus of the German people that I talked to, and this is by no means a scientific sample, is we have always loved and respected America, or at least since the late 1940s. And it seems to us that you guys have gone nuts. That the people who are running the show, the Bush administration, they lie to you and you let them get away with it. The whole world is looking at us and laughing. Not laughing, actually. It's, kind of a tragic thing. What is going on with these Americans? Are they really that dumb? In fact, I had to answer that question several times and say, no, I'm sorry, Americans are not that stupid and are not that gullible. I think it's partly that they're just so busy they don't pay attention to what's going on. It's partly that you've got this huge right-wing media machine, Rupert Murdoch and his faux news, just cranking the stuff out all the time with the Daily Memo, the RNC and their talking points, and the talking points that go out to all the right-wing talk shows all across America. And there are so many of them. I mean, America has become, radio in America, with the singular exception of little islands like this. Welcome, by the way, to the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show. Here are the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network, America's only live functioning on the air 24 hours a day progressive talk radio network. But the rest of it is just this giant right-wing echo machine. Boy, is it bizarre. And boy, did I have a story coming home today, or yesterday, which I'll tell you in just a moment. Anyhow, to catch up, today is day 120 in the search for the traitor who has committed treason from within the White House. The senior administration official who gave information to Bob Novak that Bob Novak may himself have created a crime by releasing and outing a CIA agent, which may have led to the deaths of other CIA agents, and certainly the compromise of a multi-million-dollar front company that had been operating for the CIA for years and years and years. 120 days now they have been looking. MoveOn.org has this petition. It's not even so much a petition. It's a form that you can sign, simply saying, Dear Mr. Bush, I had nothing to do with outing the CIA agent Valerie Plame. And they've gotten thousands of people from all America to sign it to show Mr. Bush how easy it would be to simply have his secretary type up on a piece of White House letterhead a thing that says, I had nothing to do with outing the CIA agent, and I hereby sign this, under my oath of office or under oath, and pass it out to everybody at the White House. But so far, George Bush's response has been not only not to do that, not only to go weeks, months, doing absolutely nothing, and requesting that the Justice Department give a 24-hour delay before they begin an investigation from the time that it became public that it was going to happen. And the White House attorney, Alberto Gonzalez, who may well be next in line for the Supreme Court, gave the White House overnight, all of the White House employees overnight, before his order not to shred documents and emails went into effect. Surprise, surprise. And when asked about this, our resident in Thief said,
and I don't know if we're going to find out. The senior administration official. Now, this is a large administration, and there's a lot of senior officials. I don't have any idea.
Yeah, he doesn't have any idea. So day 120 in the search for the traitor who committed treason within the White House. A high crime and felony. Might it even extend to the president or vice president themselves? Might that be the reason why they're working so hard to cover this up? Day 275 since that moment when the Patriot Act was placed before the leaders of the Senate, in whose hands its fate would rest, head of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Patrick Leahy, and head of the Senate Democrats, who at that time controlled the Senate because of the defection of Jim Jeffords, Tom Daschle. And curiously, these two men, of all 100 members of the Senate, of all 400, and, as I recall, 35 members of the House of Representatives, of all the thousands of senior White House officials, of all the politicians in Washington, the two people who had the power to stop the Patriot Act, suddenly had to leave their offices until after the legislation was voted on, had to leave behind all the paperwork, had to leave behind all the information, had to get his shots and injections and pills and live in terror themselves because Patrick Leahy and Tom Daschle received letters with anthrax in the mail. Only them. 275 days since this administration has vowed that they're going to find the person who sent the anthrax to those two who could have stopped the Patriot Act. Day 763. In the search... I'm sorry, I have it backwards. Day 763 in the search for the anthrax killer. It's day 275 in the search for weapons of mass destruction and Osama bin Laden. And day 789. 789 days in the search for Osama bin Laden. So we have a Berlusconi alert for you. We've got all kinds of news, lots and lots of very interesting things. I've just got to tell you the funniest thing. You know, if I were paranoid, and I genuinely am not. I genuinely am not. I tend to always look at the most rational, logical decision. But let me just tell you about, you know, I mentioned on the air here on this radio program, and it's funny, when that I was going to Germany. And while I was in Germany, a good friend of mine who I've been with in Africa, who I've been with in South America, who has traveled the world, who lived for many years in South Africa, a number of years in Haiti, went out of his way to say that he had heard part of my program, and he said, "You've got to be very careful. You're speaking against, you know, Mr. Rumsfeld and Mr. Bush." He said, "You don't understand how when a government becomes fascistic, the wielding of power can suddenly change, and the balance of terror can suddenly become, shall we say, internal." So anyhow, day before yesterday, I took the train from Stadtsteinach back to Frankfurt. I arrived at Frankfurt about midnight. I had a flight at 8 o'clock the next morning. I had a reservation that I had made myself at the airport hotel, the Airport Sheraton. And give you some appropriate music here for the story. So I show up, I present myself at the desk of the hotel, and I say, "Hello, my name's Tom Hartman, and I have a reservation here for tonight." And they look in their computer, and lo and behold, there's no reservation. "I'm sorry, Mr. Hartman, we have no record of you ever having made a reservation. There's nothing." "But," I say, "I stay in this hotel several times a year. I've been doing this for 15 or 20 years. I'm a regular here." They say, "Yes, we know, we have all the records, but we have no record of a reservation for you." Well, fortunately, they were able to find me a room. So the next morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, I wake up. I drag myself over to the United Airlines counter for my 8 a.m. flight. I show up at United. They pull up. I give them my name. They pull it up and they say, "Oh, isn't this unusual, Mr. Hartman? We have no record of you having a seat on this plane to the United States." And I say, but here's the itinerary that's printed out. Here's the printout of the email that United sent me confirming the flight. Here is a copy of my boarding pass from my trip from Chicago to Frankfurt." And she said, "Well, what we have here is a record that you have a round trip to Detroit." And I said, "Detroit, how did I get to Frankfurt?" And she said, "I don't know, maybe you're trying to fool us." I said, "No, I'm just here." She said, "Well, I'm sorry, you have no ticket, you can't get on the plane." I said, "But it's an electronic ticket." "Oh, I'm sorry, there is no record." I said, "Let me see the history of the thing." She said, because normally the airlines keep a history of, you know, every time a change is made. And she pulls it up, and I go through screen by screen, and sure enough, I have a round-trip ticket to Detroit. and I'm not even flying to Detroit, right? And it's from in October, oddly enough. And I didn't fly to Detroit in October. And I said, here's my boarding pass that I got on last Thursday, let's see if we can find a record of that. And she goes and she looks for it and she, there's no record that you ever got on the airplane. There's no record there. It's all gone. It's just vanished. And I said, "Well, doesn't United keep copies of these things?" "Well, yeah, of course we keep records for a full year, but there's no record here." So I had to buy a brand new airplane ticket, one-way ticket, from Frankfurt back here to Vermont. And I got here, but my suitcase didn't. So we finally got home late last night and stumbled into bed. And we woke up this morning as the airline brought by my bag, and they called up and they said, are you that house there on so-and-so street with the smashed-in car window? And we said, no, that's not us. And they said, well, you know, this is, I think it's the right address. And so we went out and looked, and during the middle of the night, somebody had smashed in the window in our car, like with a baseball bat. So it's been a very strange few days. You'd think Mercury was retrograde, but I am back. I am alive and kicking. This is Tom Hartman defending America from conservative weapons of mass deception.
This is Eric Mueller reporting from Chopper 5.
Cut!
News happens fast. Can I afford to let a cold slow me down? Not up here. When I'm achy, with a stuffy nose and a sore throat, I take Advil Cold and Sinus. It's got the power of Advil to handle tough pain, plus a hard-working decongestant. That's why they call it Advil Cold and Sinus.
Quick, over to the highway!
I call it fast relief for a reporter on the fly.
For tough colds, advance to Advil Cold and Sinus. Use as directed.
Honey, I have got just what you need.
I've heard that before.
No, it's Dayquil. It'll help your cold symptoms so you can get back your energy.
Really?
You could even go shopping.
Shopping.
Designer handbags are 90% off.
Yeah, because we're out of dog food.
Dayquil. The non-drowsy, stuffy head, sore throat, coughing, aching, fever help get back your energy. Medicine. Use it directed. And now it lasts 50% longer.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you are ready to buy a home, work with someone who'll work with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Welcome back to the It's Not Your Fault You Didn't Know show. We're talking about the best way to spend your weekends, and we have two special guests right now. On the phone is the Terminator himself, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Arnold. And our other guest in the studio is George W. How are you today, Mr. Bush?
What's the matter?
Okay, all of our listeners want to know what you do on your weekends. Well, I'm here to tell you that you can listen to the best of left-of-center political talk radio on Sundays now on IE America Radio Network.
That's amazing.
George, your final words. Thanks for joining us. Tune in tomorrow, same time. Have a nice day.
Just shut up!
The best of progressive talk radio can be heard on Sundays now on IE America Radio Network. For more information, call 1-800-397-8255 or go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
Hasta la vista, baby.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
What's wrong with this picture? There's something I'm not seeing here.
Mark. It's Tom Hartman helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. As I said, I please don't get worked up. I am convinced, I am certain that this was just one of the strangest series of coincidences of my life. Crime here in Vermont is pretty unknown. You heard the ad, by the way, for Small Dog Electronics just a few moments ago. I wanted to let you know Small Dog Electronics is a sponsor of this program. We're very, very pleased, happy, honored to have Small Dog Electronics as a sponsor for the Tom Hartman program here on the IE America Radio Network. And the phone number, their 800 number, if you would like to reach them. If you use a Macintosh, they have great prices, they offer wonderful service, and they offer service and products all over the world. Their number is 1-800-511-MAX, M-A-C-S, which translates into 1-800-511-6227. And that is Small Dog Electronics. And you will hear them regularly on here. And if you use a Macintosh or have ever thought of using a Macintosh or are thinking of using any Macintosh accessories, please consider Small Dog Electronics first. We have a Berlusconi alert. Another regular event on the Tom Hartman program here. You'll recall Mr. Silvio Berlusconi. Ah, the national anthem of Italy. This is from the Financial Times here. One of the days I was on an airplane last week, I found it. I forget which day it was. An Italian parliament committee yesterday abandoned a proposal to impose prison terms of up to 3 years on journalists found guilty of defamation. Now, let me give you a little background here. Silvio Berlusconi is the guy who started out as a small-time crook, hooked up with mafia and organized crime, became a large-time crook, became a successful businessman, became a very successful businessman, bought a local television station, bought several television stations, bought a television network, bought a radio network, bought another radio network, bought another television station, built a radio network. And at this moment, now Silvio Berlusconi, all by himself, owns every radio and television network in Italy, except the ones that are owned by the state, their equivalent of National Public Radio. And he's now buying up the newspapers. All told, Silvio Berlusconi, one guy, owns about 90% of all the mass media in the country of Italy. And, of course, once he reached that point, which was about 4, 5, 6 years ago, he ran for prime minister. Well, his party did. His party ran him for prime minister. And guess what? He won! And so, now, just like John Adams did back in 1789, when John Adams didn't like newspapers who spoke out against him, you'll recall the Alien and Sedition Acts, the thing that led to Thomas Jefferson winning the presidency in 1800 because Americans were so horrified by this early version of the USA Patriot Act, which was then called the Alien and Sedition Acts. Thomas Jefferson was vice president under Adams, and he left town. He walked out of Washington, D.C., or walked out of town the day that the act was signed as a symbolic protest. He secretly authored Tennessee Proposition or something like that, that was Tennessee's resolution against the Patriot Act or against the Alien and Sedition Acts at that time. There was another one done in Virginia. Localities were revolting because Adams had put something like 20 newspaper editors in prison. He put in prison Matthew Lyons, who was the congressman from Vergennes, Vermont, because Matthew Lyons spoke out against him on the House of Representatives, on the floor of the House of Representatives. So Berlusconi is trying to pull a John Adams. I'll give you the rest of the story right after this break. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. You're in the Democracy Zone. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
The tree of life might resemble a tangled shrub more than a mighty oak. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. The tree of life is a flowchart that biologists use to trace the evolutionary history of life on Earth. Many species branch off from a single ancestor, and even more sprout from each of those. But evolutionary biologists have discovered something that could dramatically change the shape of this tree. Jonathan Eisen is a biologist at the Institute for Genomic Research in Rockville, Maryland. Eisen studies the genetic makeup of bacteria to determine how different species are related. He says bacteria do something called lateral gene transfer. Unrelated species can simply swap genes. Eisen says that genetic mixing could make it inaccurate to depict evolutionary history as a branching tree.
If instead, as many people now think, organisms are composed of genes that have different histories, some genes from one lineage and some genes from another lineage, then we can no longer represent evolutionary history as a tree. It has to be represented as sort of a weird Escher diagram with branches branching off and then fusing with other branches later on, and then possibly a big weird shrub with open and closed branches going in all sorts of different directions.
Eisen says lateral gene transfer was discovered 5 years ago in bacteria resistant to antibiotics.
So one bacteria that is sensitive to an antibiotic can become resistant to that antibiotic by stealing genes from a completely different species of bacteria that was already resistant to that antibiotic.
Eisen says these resistant bacteria pose a challenge for the treatment of some diseases, and he says the microbial gene swapping could cause a lot of confusion among evolutionary scientists who might have to rethink the shape of the tree of life. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All the love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Last evening sky, all the birds are leaving. How can they know? It's time for them to go.
Welcome back. Speaking from behind a good old working-class stainless steel microphone high up in the Green Mountains of the People's Republic of Vermont, this is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting live coast-to-coast and border-to-border. We were talking about Silvio Berlusconi. Well, just like John Adams in 1789, Berlusconi proposed that any journalists who defamed him, who said nasty things about him, should go to prison. And this is from the Financial Times. An Italian parliament committee yesterday abandoned a proposal to impose prison terms of up to 3 years on journalists found guilty of defamation. The proposal caused uproar last May when it was pushed through the lower house judicial affairs committee by Forza Italia. That's Silvio Berlusconi's party. Italy's prime minister and media tycoon, they refer to him as. Under the new version of the measure, so they did away with the 3 years in prison if you say something bad about Silvio. So they've got a new law. Under the new version of the measure, journalists guilty of defamation would be fined, not jailed. Isn't that reassuring? Yes, democracy is alive and well in Italy, a nation run by a media tycoon, and you wonder why. People like Bernie Sanders and Tom Daschle and Ted Kennedy and even some folks on the right. I mean, the NRA is one of the big, was one of the most outspoken of the groups working against this massive media consolidation. Why some folks on both the left and the right are so concerned about the fact that fewer and fewer, larger and larger, fewer and fewer corporations are controlling the voices that are being heard on national radio. Speaking of being heard on national radio, a conservative alert this afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I will be the guest on the toxically right-wing Michael Medved show, debating the recent article that I wrote, Free Yourself from Conservative Talk Radio, 12 Steps to Recovery. You can listen in at michaelmedved.com. And if you're curious, seeing as how I've been on Michael's show before, he's actually a fairly decent guy. But like with all of the conservative talk show, well, for that matter, here too, I mean, I suppose it's just the nature of the beast. The show's host controls the volume control and generally wins the arguments no matter what. So it's sort of, you know, stepping into the windmill, but doing it knowing that there's some good to it. Today is November 11th, and November 11th is a really significant day for a number of reasons. It's a significant day for me because 31 years ago today, at 11:11 a.m. on 9/11 in Detroit, Michigan, my wife and I were married. Louise and I were married. We've been married. This is our 31st wedding anniversary, about an hour ago. So happy anniversary, Louise, and I am so glad we're still together. The greater significance for the world of this event, not so many folks are just amazed that somebody got married on that day. But, you know, Woodrow Wilson chose that moment, literally the 11th minute after the 11th hour, on the 11th day of the 11th month of 1918, to end the war, to sign the armistice. That was, at that time, considered to be the war that would end all wars. I mean, until World War II broke out, the First World War was referred to as the Great War. And so we've now, in recent years, changed this to Veterans Day, which is a fine thing. I mean, there should be a day honoring veterans. But it's caused us to forget the horrors of World War One. World War One was the war where... the first war where poison gases were widely used. It was the war that set up the conditions that eventually led to the rise of fascism in Europe. It was a war that nobody expected. You'll recall it was begun by the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand in Sarajevo. Isn't it funny how these things kind of, you know, Sarajevo, interesting, how the coincidences, how things kind of go around. So on this day, about an hour ago, World War One ended. What is the state of American democracy? Oh, by the way, if you have thoughts or questions, we're going to have pretty much an open show all day. We will have Studs Terkel on at the top of the next hour, about 20 minutes from now. And we're going to talk with him about his new book briefly. We'll have him on for about 20 minutes, most likely. We'll see how it goes. And but beyond that, anytime you want to call, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Well, I guess Jessica Lynch was, you know, They were so upset about any possible inaccuracies. You know, Reagan had made a three-sentence statement to the effect that people with AIDS essentially deserved it because they had been involved in homosexual activity. I don't remember the exact phrase, but it's out there. You can find it on the Internet fairly easily. It was a three-sentence phrase, and so for the movie, they changed that to one sentence, those that live in sin shall die in sin, because, you know, you're trying to condense 4 years, 8 years of history down to 1 hour programming. You just have to do that kind of thing. And, of course, the right-wingers were like, well, he never said that. Well, no, he didn't say that. Actually, what he said was worse than that. But those who were so hysterical about the accuracy of Ronald Reagan's story that they succeeded in freaking out CBS, pushing them all the way back against the wall, apparently had nothing to say about the Jessica Lynch story. I was out of the country. I didn't see the thing. In fact, it's interesting. I didn't see any mention of it on the European media. None at all. I mean, it was just wasn't there. There was an article about it in one of the British papers, in The Observer, and on Sunday. And that was it. In that article... the article was written by Edward Helmore, and he said, last week, Jessica Lynch accused the administration of manipulating her story for propaganda, saying she was not a heroine at all. Accusations that she'd been raped were disputed by appalled Iraqi doctors who first treated her, and the Army was accused of insensitivity and racism for awarding Lynch a full disability pension, while others from her ambushed maintenance company, including Shoshana Johnson, a black cook wounded and captured by Iraqis, will receive barely a third of Lynch's discharge package. Well, you know, I think they thought that they could keep her quiet, they could keep her going, you know. And it backfired, because this young woman has courage. I mean, her gun jammed, and she curled up into a little ball and prayed that she'd survive the onslaught. I mean, how many of us wouldn't? That doesn't mean that she's not courageous. She had the courage to join the Army in the first place, to go to Iraq in the first place, to be there, to survive everything. But now she has the courage to stand up against the Pentagon. She herself said that the real hero was her dead colleague, Lori Piastewa, I believe it's pronounced, a Native American mother of two who died fighting. But, you know, in George Bush's world, it's really kind of pretty white girls make better press, I think. And this woman was a Native American, and she died, and so we don't really want to talk about her. We're not showing coffins. We're not showing bodies. Lynch says she was not rescued, this from this article in The Observer, she was not rescued in a blaze of gunfire, as reported by Defense Department officials last April, but picked up from compliant Iraqi doctors who had saved her life. She was not raped, as the department said, and the Iraqi, Mohammed Oba El-Rahif, who was given U.S. citizenship for his efforts, has written a book about how he risked his own life to win her freedom. He's apparently the guy that they made this movie out of a couple of days. Maybe you saw it. As I said, I didn't see it. Now he is described by his wife as overly influenced by John Wayne movies. And again, this article by Edward Helmore in the Observer of London. Private Jessica says President is misusing her heroism is the title. Lynch is basically saying the whole thing was made up, a fraud. They go on to say the singer Cher recently visited the hospital where Lynch recovered from her ordeal and talked on TV of meeting a teenage soldier who had lost both his arms. She wanted to know why Bush and his team weren't having their photographs taken with the injured troops. Poor Cher, so naive. She says, I don't understand why these guys, the wounded, are so hidden and there aren't pictures of them. She doesn't get it. Lynch now questions why her rescue was filmed. Jessica Lynch's own words, they used me to symbolize all this stuff. It's wrong. I don't know why they filmed it or why they say these things. And, of course, she has her book deal, and I'm sure that the right-wingers who were loving her before are going to be attacking her now, and we'll see that soon on right-wing radio. Hey, it just started snowing here in the People's Republic of Vermont. It's beautiful. Beautiful, thick, white snowflakes coming down. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
Interesting. I picked up a copy of The Economist and was reading it on the plane. And there was one little statistic here that I found really interesting. They were asking, what is more important for government? And they did a study in five countries, the United States, Germany, France, Britain, and Italy. And the two questions illustrated the two sides of what I call the true moral issue. Conservative morality, in my opinion, is primarily based on individual behavior and the behavior of others. Who are you sleeping with? Are they of the right gender? Is it under the appropriate circumstances? How are you behaving? The personal. Are you taking the right drugs? Are you taking caffeine and not, you know, pot or something? Might you have an abortion or not? These personal behaviors are at the core of conservative morality. In fact, it's interesting. I here's an article. This from The Economist. And it illustrates how pervasive this incorrect understanding of liberal morality is, which I haven't gotten to yet. I will in a second. They say, religious puritanical, this is from an article, Greatest Danger or Greatest Hope. Yes, America is different, but it always has been. Mostly the difference is good for the world, not bad. And it's an article about how Bush has changed under, how America has changed under Bush. And being the Economist, basically a very conservative publication, sort of Business Week of England, they tend to be in favor of this administration. Anyhow, here's a sentence from here. Religious puritanical conservative Americans, mainly Republicans, are ranged against more secular, hedonistic, tolerant ones, mainly Democrats. And this is what the conservatives have succeeded in portraying this to the point that it's actually believed as conventional wisdom, that the Democrats or the liberals are hedonists because they're not so concerned about who's sleeping with whom. And, you know, if Bill Clinton had an affair with a consenting adult, well, was that a big deal? Was that as big a deal as lying about something that caused the death of more than 20,000 people, as George Bush did in Iraq? I would suggest to you that liberals are absolutely as moral and absolutely as ferocious about their morality as are conservatives, but they define it differently. Conservatives define morality as, what did you do in your bedroom? And those conservatives who are not hypocrites also would say, and what did I do in my bedroom? Liberals would say, and those who are biblically based, I mean, there's a lot of conservatives who are biblically based, they point to the Ten Commandments. Liberals who are biblically based would point to Matthew 25, and they would say, are there those among us who are hungry and not fed? If there are, then we cannot call ourselves moral. Are there those among us who are naked and not clothed? Are there those among us who are lacking shelter? Are there those among us who are thirsty and don't have clean and fresh water to drink? Are there those among us who are homeless and nobody is taking them in? These are the definitions of liberal morality or progressive morality or what I call the radical middle morality. I think the morality of probably 70-80% of Americans, the majority of Americans. Whereas conservative morality says, oh yeah, that's all very well and good, thank you very much, but we're really concerned. It doesn't really matter how many people Bill Clinton fed or if he, you know, helped AIDS programs or not. You know, it's really about, did he have sex with somebody when he shouldn't have? Private morality. Now, these are two very real kinds of morality. And they both have their advocates, but what you find is that conservatives tend to define morality as private morality, and liberals tend to define morality as public morality. So this is where this study was particularly interesting. They asked these two questions. In the United States, Germany, France, Britain, and Italy. And one had to do with private morality and the other with public morality. And the results are absolutely amazing. I'll share them with you as soon as we get back from the break. Welcome to the vast radical middle conspiracy. Take no imitations. We will be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is Eric Muller reporting from Chopper 5.
Cut!
News happens fast. Can I afford to let a cold slow me down? Not up here. When I'm achy, with a stuffy nose and a sore throat, I take Advil Cold and Sinus. It's got the power of Advil to handle tough pain, plus a hard-working decongestant. That's why they call it Advil Cold and Sinus.
Quick, over to the highway!
I call it fast relief for a reporter on the fly.
For tough colds, advance to Advil Cold and Sinus. Use as directed.
I've had it with this cold.
So, try DayQuil. It'll help take care of your cold symptoms so you can get your energy back.
You think?
Oh, honey, you'll feel so good you can spend the day puttering in the garage.
The garage.
Clearing out lots of room for my car.
DayQuil. The non-drowsy, stuffy head, sore throat, coughing, and aching fever help get back your energy. Medicine. Use as directed. And now it lasts 50% longer.
Oh, man, this milk smells bad. It tastes funny, too.
Now that's a bad decision. Fortunately, buying a GM-certified used vehicle that's fully reconditioned with a comprehensive limited warranty is always a good decision. GM-certified used vehicles. The right way, the right car. Qualified buyers get 3.9% APR financing on select GM-certified used vehicles from participating Chevrolet, Pontiac, Oldsmobile, Buick, and GMC dealers. Visit GMCertified.com for details.
They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America. Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. But don't take my word for it. Call us to get a free sampler. Yes, you heard me right, a free sampler. Two full-size bottles delivered to your doorstep for a $10 shipping cost only. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
There's a new voice on IE America Radio Network. It's Never Better with Marina Colby. Sundays from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. Never Better is an energetic show that explores and analyzes how you can be more successful people at work and in relationships. So make sure you tune in to Never Better with Marina Colby every Sunday from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
Tom Hart.
American show.
For the computerized voting machines in the last election, our question is the theft of your vote. On our chat room here, Brain Shrub points out that H is the eighth letter of the alphabet. A is the first letter of the alphabet. So if you take that 18181, the exact number of votes that three different candidates in one county in Texas got on these computerized voting machines, and you simply convert it to letters, it becomes... Is it a conspiracy or a coincidence?
Okay, first of all, I wanted to say congratulations. We were elected to the White House by one of the narrowest margins in history. 63% of registered voters...
Wait a second. You wanted me to poll registered voters?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Conservative weapons of mass deception, brought to you by Small Dog Electronics and the Organic Wine Company. Small Dog Electronics at 1-800-511-MAX, M-A-C-S, which is 1-800-511-6227. And the Organic Wine Company, great stuff. You know, grapes are one of the most heavily pesticide-laden products. It's so important if you're going to consume... If you want to do organic, if you drink organic wine, 1-888-ECO-WINE, E-C-O-W-I-N-E, and that's 1-888. Anyhow, our two sponsors on this program, and we are very pleased and honored to have them. Now, to this study that was published in The Economist, and this I found absolutely fascinating, they asked two questions. Which is more important for government? And this is the conservative morality versus liberal morality question. To guarantee that no one is in need, is that one of the most important functions of government? Or to provide freedom to pursue one's own goals, is that the most important function of government? In Italy, over 60%, and in Britain, and in France, over 60%, and in Germany it was about 58%, so functionally 60% of people said that the primary purpose of government was to guarantee that no one was in need. And fewer than 40% in Germany, and fewer than 35% in France, Britain, and Italy said that the main purpose of government was to provide freedom to pursue goals. Whereas in the United States, it was the opposite. In the United States, only about 30 to 35% said that the main purpose of government was to guarantee that no one was in need, and almost 60% said to provide freedom to pursue goals. I think there's the seeds of a fascinating conversation there, and it gives an insight into perhaps some aspects of the difference between the American and the European. This is the Tom Hartman Program, where our talking points come from Jefferson and Madison instead of right-wing think tanks and the Republican National Committee. Thank you for joining us this hour. Stay tuned. We will be back.
It's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from sirens night and day, from the fires.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk about what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network. Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bat.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You
why
hate
don't
me?
I put something on that says he's a great goof liberal.
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. The state attorney general asked a judicial panel on Monday to remove suspended Chief Justice Roy Moore from office for defying a federal judge's order to take his Ten Commandments monument off public display in the state judicial building. In a brief filed with the Alabama Judiciary Court, Attorney General Bill Pryor said Moore should be removed because he intentionally and publicly engaged in misconduct and remains unrepentant for his behavior. Proceedings against Moore for violating judicial canons begins Wednesday. An Australian lawyer representing some of the suspects held without charge at the Guantanamo Bay military prison in Cuba claimed Wednesday that the U.S. military has tortured terrorist suspects. U.S.-based Richard Bourque, who has been working for almost 2 years on behalf of dozens of detainees at Guantanamo Bay, said American military officials were using old-fashioned torture techniques to force confessions out of prisoners. The methods clearly fell under the definition of torture under international conventions, he told Australian Broadcasting Corporation Radio in an interview from the United States. They are engaging in good old-fashioned torture as people would have understood it in the Dark Ages, he said. A former CIA analyst says that George W. Bush's reason for war with Iraq is far worse than the false premise that dragged the United States into the Vietnam War, an attack on a U.S. destroyer in the Gulf of Tonkin, which later turned out to have never happened. In an interview with London's Independent newspaper, Ray McGovern accuses Bush of taking advantage of his authority as president to make people believe there must be something to his insistent allegations that Iraq possessed weapons of mass destruction. He called Bush's run-up to the war a very calculated 18-month orchestrated, incredibly cynical campaign of lies to justify a war. McGovern is co-founder of a group of former CIA employees called Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. More IE America Network news after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
A Dusseldorf, Germany man with no handcuffs captured a burglar by clamping his teeth onto the man's thumb and dragging him off to a neighbor's house. He couldn't use the phone himself, so the neighbor called the police, read Monday's statement from the Dusseldorf police. The thief received treatment for his injured thumb. For IE American Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
This is Eric Muller reporting from Chopper 5.
Cut!
News happens fast. Can I afford to let a cold slow me down? Not up here. When I'm achy, with a stuffy nose and a sore throat, I take Advil Cold and Sinus. It's got the power of Advil to handle tough pain, plus a hard-working decongestant. That's why they call it Advil Cold and Sinus.
Quick, over to the highway.
I call it fast relief for a reporter on the fly.
for tough colds, advance to Advil Cold and Sinus. Use as directed.
Walmart, the recidivist criminal, is back in trouble with the law. Jesse James, Bonnie and Clyde, and Al Capone have nothing on this notorious violator of our nation's laws and moral code of behavior. It routinely robs its nearly 1 million workers, depriving them of a fair wage and a fair chance. For example, Walmart illegally compels employees to work an extra hour or so without pay after their shift is over. More than 30 states have filed class action suits against the company for requiring this off-the-clock work. The largest sex discrimination suit ever filed in U.S. history is underway against Walmart on behalf of nearly 1 million women who have worked there. Walmart has been sued more times by federal authorities for discrimination against the disabled than any other corporation. Walmart has been formally cited more than 40 times in the past 5 years for using illegal tactics to deny its workers the right to join a union. Its latest legal comeuppance came recently when the feds raided 60 Walmart stores in 21 states and arrested illegal immigrants working as janitors. The workers in these cleaning crews were being paid below the minimum wage, getting as little as $2 a day working for the richest retailer in the world. "Oh no," cried Walmart executives, "they don't work for us, but for cleaning contractors we hire. And trust us, we had no idea that they were hiring illegal workers and paying illegal wages." This is Jim Hightower saying, what a crock. Walmart is renowned for its elaborate computer network that tracks every cost it incurs down to the penny, and for demanding that its suppliers and contractors pay the least wage possible. Plus, this is the third time in the past 5 years that Walmart has been caught pulling this same crime of using illegal cleaning crews. Not only does Walmart know what's going on, but such exploitation of workers is integral to this corporate criminal's ongoing profit plan.
Doug, listening to you sing Back on the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Covers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back to the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. Our guest this hour, it's a true honor to have on. I have been listening to and reading the work of Studs Terkel for all my life, as long as I can remember. And one of just the extraordinary wise elders of our society. Studs Terkel is the author of 11 books of oral history, including Working, and the Pulitzer Prize winner, winning book, The Good War. He is a member of the Academy of Arts and Letters, and a recipient of the Presidential National Humanities Medal, the National Book Foundation Medal, and Distinguished Contribution to American Letters, and a George Polk Career Award. His new book is Hope Dies Last, Keeping the Faith in Difficult Times, and it's an extraordinary collection of interviews. I have it sitting here right in front of me, an extraordinary collection of interviews that he has done over the years in his radio program. He's been on the radio since 1944 on his radio program, with, and in other venues, apparently, with some just truly extraordinary human beings. Mr. Terkel, welcome very much to the Tom Hartman program.
Thank you very much, and I was listening a bit about that Walmart. I was so happy to hear that said. You know, the media today, which is humorously, whimsically described as liberal media, of course, that's a joke. You understand that. W.C. Fields could conceive that. Liberal media. Whereas you guys have come through with something wonderful. Thing I just heard about Walmart. They're defying every principle that is democracy. the right of people to organize. They are canceling everything that the New Deal of Franklin D. Roosevelt put forth as part of the law of our land. And Walmart is an example of what our administration is all about, too. How they toady toward the few at the expense of the many. And that's why I was so delighted to catch that bit of conversation I heard before I went on.
Thank you very much. That is the core of this program, is that the conservative agenda is an agenda of cheap labor, destroy the unions, exalt corporations over we the people, and if the environment has to suffer, or if workers have to suffer, or if people have to suffer, as long as somebody makes a buck, it's just fine. That's the conservative agenda, and I'm having no part of it on this program.
Well, thank you. You're a rare program. By the way, the word conservative is misused, I think. See, they're not worth being called conservatives, because true conservatives, I'm a conservative, and I want to conserve the pollution. I want to conserve fresh air from being polluted by the predators. I want to conserve sanity, what little we have left. I want to conserve the First Amendment, giving us a right to speak out, in contrast to the horrendous resolution put forth by our Attorney General called the Patriot Act, which is a very un-American act, by the way. It's opposite of what a country represents, the right to dissent. And so, in that sense, we give them too much honor in calling them conservatives. They are reactionaries, and they are, in a sense, politically barbaric. And we have to challenge them. And you know what I think? Our country was founded, by the way, by people such as those I pay tribute to in the book, by people like yourself, by the anonymous people who believed that a commoner has a right to tell a king to bug off if he disagrees. That's what the principle was. And Thomas Paine was our great visionary. And he said the fear to think is a thing. The fear of speaking out, reason, was equated with treason in the olden days. And that's why a new government called the United States of America came into being. And so You're appealing to thinking Americans, and I have great belief in all the Americans. I believe they have a native intelligence that is not being called upon, that is being abused by the media to the great extent that we have today. And your program, to me, is like a fresh of breath air, just hearing you say what you said earlier and now.
Well, thank you very much, sir. And much like your book, Hope Dies Last, one of the things, it's very easy to complain about how bad things are. And there's many folks out there on the right and the left who sit around going, oh, this is terrible. And there's no shortage of things that we can complain about. But I think one of the things that I honor the most about your book and your work over the years is that you always hold a positive vision of America and that you always hold hope for the future.
Well, hope without hope, what's the alternative to it? It's despair.
Yeah.
And despair means your head in the oven. Hope is what made this country be what it is. It's hope of the... By the way, when this country was founded, we say everybody fought the American Revolution. No, they didn't. Half the country was Tory and wouldn't have minded a king. But it was those who had a hope of a new kind of society, like Tom Paine and George Washington, who, by the way, admired Paine very much. It was hope that made the abolitionists fight slavery, you see, against terrible odds. And it's hope through the years that helped create these laws that have given us some kind of civilized behavior, you see, and regulated those who would prey upon the helpless, you see. And without those people who did it at times when it was in fashion, when they spoke out against our maladventure in Southeast Asia, the Vietnam War. They were few in number, and they were attacked, and they were pilloried, and bit by bit people came to see they were right, you see. So it's that sort of thing. I picked up that title, by the way, from a Mexican farm worker. Her name was Jessie De La Cruz. She's long retired. And she says, in times when things are bleak and bewildering, we have a saying in Spanish, and the Spanish quote is, La esperanza muera al último. It means hope dies last. And that title stuck with me for years and years and years. And finally I said, I got to do this book. You know?
Yeah. Well, and you've done it, and you've done it brilliantly. I understand that back in 1953, a radio station manager fired you for refusing to renounce some pro-labor petitions that you'd signed by apparently being tricked into signing them by the communists. Is it true that you were blacklisted in this whole thing that Ronald Reagan was part of helping Hoover and McCarthy?
Oh, you bet. That's a funny story. Well, back in those days, I was a disc jockey. I'd play all kinds of records, opera and folk music and jazz. And I used to play Mahalia Jackson records. I was the white jockey who played Mahalia's records because I knew her. And we became friends. Well, that's part of the story. And then TV comes into being. TV was brand new. Chicago had three programs. TV was on 6 to 10 at night. There was no daytime TV. And the three programs were Kukla, Fran, and Ollie. I don't know if you know that one. It involved a puppeteer who was wonderful.
I remember it.
Rags to Life. Dave Garraway's show. And Dave, yep. The first face ever seen on daytime TV. The first host of a new kind of program that was revolutionary. It was in the daytime. It was called the Today Show. Today.
Yes.
He was the very first host. The third program was Studs Place, one I was involved with. And all three programs were alive. There was no safety net. There was no canned laughter. And it was jazzy, and people loved these three programs. Well, then comes McCarthy days, the Cold War. Now, I, as you probably can gather, have a big mouth, you know. Mahalia Jackson said to me...
And God bless you for it.
Studs, you got such a big mouth, you should have been a preacher, is what she said.
Yeah.
In any event, I got in trouble. Because I signed a lot of petitions, anti-lynching, anti-poll tax, anti-Jim Crow. And I always say, I never met a petition I didn't like, you know. One meantime, so that I'm visited by New York, by the people from New York headquarters of NBC, because I'm now a hot property, as Dave is. Mike Wallace was an announcer here in Chicago. He went to New York, and Dave Garraway, I was courted. And then they said, will you renounce this stuff that you signed? Why? I said, well, but you know the communists were behind that stuff? So I said, I get kind of cute on occasion. And I said, suppose communists come out against cancer. Do we have to come out for cancer? He said, that's not very funny.
Yeah.
And so he said, you got to stand up and be counted. So I stood up physically, you know. He said, that's not funny either. Sit down. And then he said, why don't you say you were stupid, you were duped, you didn't mean it? I said, no, but I wasn't. Well, to this day... You're going to like this. This day people say, Stud, you were so heroic. I wasn't. I was scared. I can't use the word on the air. But I was scared stiff, you know.
Sure.
But what was at stake was my ego, not them. Or I should say my self-esteem.
Yeah.
That's the one thing we're lacking today, a great many of us. Suddenly our self-esteem is taking a beating because of the phony media that we do get on the air today with your programs being so... notable an exception. And so basically, I was now blacklisted. You follow so far? Here comes the payoff. Mahalia is now internationally known, Mahalia Jackson. And
sure.
They're doing a radio program on the network for her, and she insists I be the host of it. And so I am. They agree. And about 3 weeks into the show, another guy comes from New York, CBS, says, would you mind signing this? That's some loyalty oath. Are you ever been with? I don't believe on that stuff. I am what I am, an American. I don't sign any loyalty oaths. That's for totalitarian countries. He and I arguing on the stage during a dress rehearsal. Amanda goes by. She knew all about this. She says, is that what I think it is, baby? I says, yeah. You're going to sign it? I said, of course not. And she says, okay, let's rehearse. And he says, Miss Jackson, Mr. Turkle has to sign it. It's a word from New York. And that's when she said, if they fire Studs Turkle... tell them to find another Mahalia Jackson. And you know what happened?
That's great.
Nothing happened. He disappeared. The show went on. What does that prove?
That's the thing about bullies, you know?
Saying no to the official word had more Americanism in her, more guts in her than General Paley, Sarnoff, and all the agencies put together. And that's what America's all about, what she's all about. So that story, I think, is kind of a metaphor.
Yeah, and you've done a marvelous job of painting this picture in your book. You have, for example, in one place, a Democrat and a prominent Democrat and prominent Republican side by side talking about hopes.
I admire Dan Burton of Indiana as a conservative. Yeah. And he's a follower of George Bush. I happen to admire him because he's an honest man.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about bullies. His father was a bully, beat up his mother and himself. And he said John Edgar Hoover was a bully and a liar, and he wants his name removed. So he's an honest guy. Though he and I might differ politically, you see. It's the honesty that I'm looking for in all these books, you see.
Yeah, I think there was extraordinary honesty. The true conservatives, we just have a few seconds left in this segment, and then after this commercial break, we'll pick up our conversation here with Studs Terkel. But a quote from a famous conservative, General Dwight D. Eisenhower: every gun that is made, every warship launched, every rocket signifies in the final sense a theft from those who hunger and are not fed, from those who are cold and not clothed. The world in arms is not spending money alone. It is spending the sweat of its laborers, the genius of its scientists, the hopes of its children. These, the kinds of conservatives that you're talking about in here, and the kinds of progressives and liberal. I love your interview with Pete Seeger. Studs Terkel will be right back after this break. If you can please hold on. We have to pay some bills here. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. We will be right back. Please stay tuned.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com for The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
Did you know that grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed of all agricultural products? Most people don't. But that is why it's so very important to drink wines that are made with certified organic grapes. And that is exactly what we are inviting you to do today. Taste our wines. We select them personally. They come from small properties in the south of France. They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. And they are earth-friendly. But judge for yourself. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE. We'll answer all your questions. And we will send you a free sampler. Yes, a free sampler. Two full-size bottles delivered to your doorstep for a $10 shipping cost only. My name is Véronique. I founded the Organic Wine Company in 1980 for people just like you. People who love wine and want to do well by our earth. I look forward to talking with you. Call 1-888-ECO-WINE, and that is ECOWINE.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Bill in Hoffman Estates, Illinois, posting on our message board. The doorbell rang, and I answered the door just as I finished posting how fed up I am with Bush. What a surprise. The guy standing in front of my door was very Republican look about him. His first words to me were, "Hi, I am your Republican precinct captain." Boy, has this guy got the wrong address, I said to myself. But not before I made it known to him that I consider Bush a menace to America. He started squirming and glancing around the front of my house. Our junkie responds. He says, "I remember when the only people we had to worry about meeting on our doorsteps were Jehovah Witness crusaders. Now we have right-wingers. That's really scary." How to scare off door-to-door Republican visitors. And Klaus adds, "Well, answering the door naked can have the desired effect."
For Christ's sake, will you cover yourself?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
I am standing by the river. I will be standing here forever. Though you're on the other side, my face you still can see. Why won't you look at me?
Exposing the con in conservative, or at least those who dare call themselves conservatives these days. Dwight Eisenhower and Barry Goldwater and the true conservatives are rolling over in their graves the way that word is being misused. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. It's 25 minutes after the hour. Our program today brought to you by Small Dog Electronics and the Organic Wine Company. Jerry in North Carolina has a question for Studs Terkel, who the author of, most recently, Hope Dies Last, our guest this hour. And, Studs, is it okay with you if we take a few calls from listeners?
By all means.
Okay, great.
I'm a little hard of hearing. You may have to repeat it, but go ahead.
Okay, fine. Jerry, your question, if you can make it kind of short and kind of loud.
Okay.
Before I ask the question, I wanted to mention to you, Tom, that I was married at 7:30 on a Saturday evening 31 years ago today.
Oh, remarkable. Studs, today's my 31st wedding anniversary. That's what Jerry's referring to. I had mentioned it earlier. Congratulations, Jerry.
My question, I'd like to hear what Studs has to say about the cowardice and spinelessness of our press today.
Okay, great. Studs, what do you think about the cowardice and spinelessness of our press today? Jerry from North Carolina wants to know. Thank you, Jerry, for that question.
You're hitting right on the spot. That's why I value this program of Tom and his colleagues. I never come across this ever. I'm 91 years old. Never come across this. I'll tell you a funny story about my deafness, how it helps. You know, during the triumph of our president and his liberation of Iraq during the early days, we heard the phrase embedded journalist. Remember that? Embedded journalist.
Mm-hmm.
We're handing out just stuff that the administration wanted to hand. But to my bad hearing, it came out with in bed with journalists.
Yeah.
And you see, so you hit it. The cravenness, the cowardliness of the press. If ever there were a time when it cried out for. But there's a good sign among the bestsellers of books by Molly Ivins and Michael Moore and Al Franken. And all three of those, you know, speak out. And so that's a happy sign. It's a good sign, I think, that some younger people perhaps who are catching on. And I'm glad to hear you raise that question, because that's the big one. It's about time. The whole idea of a free press is what our country and free speech is all about. I'm of course, overwhelmed. I'm glad that you agree with me about the cowardliness of the press and just letting...
Well, I know you've been a journalist for many, many years and won many prizes. Why do you think there is so much... I remember Walter Cronkite reporting the news back in the 50s and 60s, and it was, you know, let the chips fall where they may. Why do you think it's so different now? Why are so many journalists, even the network journalists, cowed and only spouting the company line?
Are you asking me that?
Yes, sir.
Oh, because I'm a little lost then. Why are they? I think fear. The fear of speaking out. We have, for example, the Attorney General, who I'm ashamed to say is my fellow alumnus. He and I both attended the University of Chicago Law School. I did years before he did. But I'm convinced now that John Ashcroft is 350 years old, because in the play by Arthur Miller called The Crucible, it's a play about the witch hunts in the late 17th century in Salem, Massachusetts. They were like the terrorists of the day. Witch hunts. And there was this evangelist who said, you're not with me, you're against me. If you're not with my God, you're consorting with the devil. Well, that was John Ashcroft in a previous incarnation.
Yeah.
And that was the first draft of the Patriot Act. This is my joke.
Well, and you recall Arthur Miller wrote The Crucible
back
during the McCarthy era.
made to fear that if we object, if we raise objections to our policy that is incredibly stupid and self-defeating, we are helping terrorists. In a sense, that's what they're saying. And as a result of
it, I agree. Mr. Turkle, the music means we've got another break here. After this break, we'll have a little more time to talk, but if you can just hold that thought for a moment, we'll be back in just about 2.5 minutes. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, Truth and Common Sense in Broadcasting. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
The tree of life might resemble a tangled shrub more than a mighty oak. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. The tree of life is a flowchart that biologists use to trace the evolutionary history of life on Earth. Many species branch off from a single ancestor, and even more sprout from each of those. But evolutionary biologists have discovered something that could dramatically change the shape of this tree. Jonathan Eisen is a biologist at the Institute for Genomic Research in Rockville, Maryland. Eisen studies the genetic makeup of bacteria to determine how different species are related. He says bacteria do something called lateral gene transfer. Unrelated species can simply swap genes. Eisen says that genetic mixing could make it inaccurate to depict evolutionary history as a branching tree.
If instead, as many people now think, organisms are composed of genes that have different histories, some genes from one lineage and some genes from another lineage, then we can no longer represent evolutionary history as a tree. It has to be represented as sort of a weird Escher diagram with branches branching off and then fusing with other branches later on, and then possibly a big weird shrub with open and closed branches going in all sorts of different directions.
Eisen says lateral gene transfer was discovered 5 years ago in bacteria resistant to antibiotics.
So one bacteria that is sensitive to an antibiotic can become resistant to that antibiotic by stealing genes from a completely different species of bacteria that was already resistant to that antibiotic.
Eisen says these resistant bacteria pose a challenge for the treatment of some diseases, and he says the microbial gene swapping could cause a lot of confusion among evolutionary scientists who might have to rethink the shape of the tree of life. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to Talk Radio for the rest of us, defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting live every day from noon to 3 p.m. coast to coast across the United States on the IE America Radio Network, streaming across the world on the Internet as well. We're on terrestrial radio stations from coast to coast and on several different Internet radio stations, radiopower.org, ieamericaradio.com, live365.com. You can find it all, plus archives, three-week archives of the program. You can find it all at our website, tomhartman.com or liberaltalkradio.com. We'll get you there. Our program today brought to you by Small Dog Electronics and the Organic Wine Company. Check out their, they're both extraordinary companies with great products. We're speaking with Studs Terkel, one of America's true wise elders, one of America's most extraordinary and outspoken people. Studs Terkel is the author of 11 books of oral history, including Working and the Pulitzer Prize winning The Good War. He's a member of the Academy of Arts and Letters and a recipient of the Presidential National Humanities Medal, the National Book Foundation Medal for Distinguished Contribution to American Letters, and a George Polk Career Award. His new book, which I highly recommend, this is inspiring. There are stories in here that will make you angry, that will make you cry, that will make you happy, but ultimately it's about inspiration and hope. His book, Hope Dies Last. A remarkable book from this Pulitzer Prize winner, Studs Terkel. And welcome back to the program. Thank you for being with us today.
I'm glad you mentioned the book because it is the portrait. I think I know who your listeners are and what they feel. And I think they will enjoy it. But more than that, it will give them hope. And these are portraits of people who have the kind I've described, who I call the prophetic minority, the ones who spoke out against something when it was unsafe to speak out, who later on whose thoughts became part of the law of the land that is now being so attacked by barbaric forces that we euphemistically call conservative.
Yes.
In any event, thank you very much. You were going to say something. I'm sorry.
Well, no, thank you for being on the program. I had a question. In your book, you interviewed Wallace Rasmussen, who was the former president of Beatrice Foods, and he made an interesting comment. He said, I'm just a country boy, born in Nebraska, came up right through the Great Depression. I'm convinced it will repeat itself in time when it's time, and probably it will be good for the country. It will be hard on people who never experienced doing without, but it's amazing what you can get along without. My wife's grandmother, who just died at 95 last year, often said the same thing, and I've heard the same thing from my parents and from other people of the generation that lived through the Great Depression. I'm 52. I was born after the Great Depression, but of many people who lived through the Great Depression, and I think this is a fascinating approach, finding hope in America experiencing another depression. Would we need to experience another depression?
Now you've raised a big one. See, you've raised a big question. I maintain we are suffering, thanks to the media being as craven and cowardly as it is, we're suffering from a national Alzheimer's disease. It's as though there were no memories, though there were no yesterday. Of course, there was a great American Depression of the 30s, the most traumatic moment since the Civil War. But along came a government for the many that said, look, if private enterprise can't do the trick, it fell on its knees, they fell on their butt, and they prayed for the government, regulate us, and that saved them. And the irony is, the daddies and granddaddies are those whose butts were saved by big government, the ones who condemn big government when it comes to health and education and welfare, or not the Pentagon. So you see, there is this loss of memory, or this robbery of memory of the young. So Wallace Rasmussen was a remarkable guy. He was a working man. He could fix anything. He was the opposite of a bean counter. He made that a $7 billion operation. He was a ruthless boss. He made that clear. But he also respected the unions, respected the working men, and he wanted them to be part of the profit that was going on. And he took off on Enronism, and he connected Enronism with this administration. As you know, it is connected.
Mm.
Quite powerful. And so he more or less was speaking a certain truth.
Yeah. Do you think that we are facing a smarter, craftier opposition to organized labor than we did in the 1930s? I mean, I think it was in 1912 when the Supreme Court...
I don't think they're smarter and craftier. I think they're far more bold and brazen and barbaric. What's happened to labor itself, the great many caved in during the days of McCarthy And they said, well, we get along well. And so, but there's a new kind of labor force coming to being, you know, of third world people and women and the service employees union and the poor old industrial workers. Their stuff's taken away to countries where there's slave labor and no unions. And so, therefore, these guys are having a time of it. And they're having a time basically because of a press that's so craven and owned. That,
yeah.
It seems to me that Bush and Rumsfeld and the rest of them, Cheney, would be laughed out of existence had we all the facts. I believe in the intelligence of the American people. That's what I always appeal to, that, the intelligence and the sense of decency. And it's under attack right now. That's an assault as deep as 9/11. Horrendous though that was, this is another assault. It's upon our intelligence, upon our sense of decency and understanding.
Yes.
They're not craftier or brighter. They're just more bold because we have, you see, that hope. Once you join any organization, it could be Lights for a Street where kids are crossing. It could be a larger movement, peace, civil rights, civil liberties, rights of unions. It could be anything. Once you join those communities, you feel stronger as a result. And that's what it's about. And the book is about that hope and those people who imbue the rest of us with it.
Yes, and a marvelous book it is. We're speaking with Studs Terkel, the author of Hope Dies Last.
Oh, Tom, forgive me. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I've got to tell this one. You know, I'm 91 years old, but I still have my two martinis a night. So I spoke to my cardiologist, and I said, what about the cholesterol count? He says, at your age, the cholesterol count is as relevant to you as truth is to George W. Bush. So I thought you'd like that. That's true.
Oh my!
Now you
I came home from Germany last night, and many people in that nation agree with your cardiologist. I'll tell you, one of in your book, one of your claims to fame was a series of interviews with a former Klansman, C.P. Ellis, who tore up his Klan card and joined the civil rights movement. His friendship with civil rights activist Ann Atwater inspired the film Unlikely Friendship. Can you tell us about that?
You bet I can. That's one of my favorite. People say, what's your favorite interview? I could name a variety of people like Bertrand Russell and go down the line. My favorite, I think, was C.P. Ellis, former Grand Cyclops of the Ku Klux Klan, who was transformed by his own experience. He was a poor white person who joined the Klan. And you know who the enemy was to him? He was taught to be, was the black. He used the N-word, of course, you know.
Yeah.
And then one day he meets this woman, Ann Atwater, and she hates him, he hates her. Civil rights movement is going on. He'd break up those picket lines. And next thing you know, they're working together for a school system in which his boy and her girl can be educated better. I'm condensing the story considerably. It would take too long to tell. But through the experiences of working with her, even though they disliked one another, bit by bit they come to realize they're in the same boat, the poor, hardworking white and the poor, hardworking black. And the next thing you know, he becomes the business manager of a union that's primarily black custodians at Duke University. And today he says, I'm the man who was overjoyed when Martin Luther King was killed, and now I listen to his speeches and I read his stuff, and it's so beautiful, it's so moving, I could cry. And now I feel like I'm somebody, really am. When I put that Klan thing on, that poor white trash I called myself, I thought I was somebody. I wasn't. Now I'm somebody. Me and those black women together, a committee, and the company sends these Harvard Princeton guys down to break our union. You know what? They can't hold a candle to us. We've had fifth grade education. We hold our own against them. Me and those black women. Now I feel like I'm somebody. Well, that to me gives me hope. See, I think anybody is possible of changing and transforming. I'm a great believer in that.
Yeah. Looking at the political landscape here, looking at the fact that George Bush looks like he's going to raise perhaps $250 million, he's already raised more money than he spent in the 2000 election. Looking at the Democratic candidates, looking at the sellout of much of the Democratic Party to corporations and the holdouts, the folks like Dennis Kucinich who haven't sold out or apparently haven't. What gives you the greatest concern and what gives you the greatest hope about the future of America.
Well, the concern is what you've just mentioned, of course, the overwhelming amount of big dough that's on the side of the few as against the many. And the man, like Dennis Kucinich, is someone who's little known, and he has no chance of winning it. Yet he, by far, is most qualified, as far as the many people are concerned, for president, the closest to, say, Franklin D. Roosevelt. He hasn't a chance, of course. I'll settle for Dean, as at least he had the guts to say no, along with Dennis. But the big thing, my big concern is the overwhelming amount of dough that goes into it on one side in contrast to the other. But more than that, it's the media itself. I don't mean just press. I mean radio and TV. And you, of course, your station, you represent the few, the many. And, of course, you know that we're outnumbered about 200-1, especially now with the FCC. Colin Powell's son is defying. He is knocking everything of the New Deal out of commission. He's saying, guy owns 1,000 stations, can own 2,000 stations. And it's that thing that most concerns me. But I think the hope is there, the fact that you have these people calling, the fact that your voice is on the air, the fact that everywhere I go, by the way, I speak just the way I'm speaking now, no bones pulled. I speak in conservative communities. And guess what? I hate to say this, a standing O, because they're waiting for someone to speak out and say it, not just us. And so that's what it's about. So I still have that hope, or more than still have. It's there. Provided we act along with our hope, act meaning join these various communities, participate in the elections, say, but speak openly, write letters to editors. All this is part of what being an activist is all about.
Yeah. I've noticed in your book, and not just in this book, but in your other writings over the years, the writings of yours that I've read in your book Working, as I recall, and also newspaper columns, and I'm not sure if they were originally written as columns or they were pieces, but I used to read you in the paper back when I was young. The sense that rather than talking to the rich and famous, you would prefer to talk to what might be referred to as the average person. You know, the stories of people who are living out things. You know, the frightened soldier.
Always, of course. Who are the ones who make the wheels go around? It's not someone named Britney Spears or whoever, or J-Lo. I have no idea who J-Lo is. J-Lo, I thought, was a soft drink. I thought Ben, who's referred with J-Lo, I thought Ben Franklin's great-grandson or something. No, they're dull people. You see, we make trivial things. In these ordinary people, so-called, are those who made the wheels go around. There's a poem by a guy named Brecht, and the poem goes like something like this. Who built the seven gates of Thebes, you know? When I ask people who built the pyramids, they say the pharaohs. The pharaohs didn't lift a finger at the king and queen. When Mrs. Pharaoh's hands were as immaculately manicured as Elizabeth Taylor's Cleopatra. Who built the Chinese wall? That is, where did the masons go for lunch? When Caesar conquered Gaul, with not even a cook in the army, and the big one is, who conquered the Spanish Armada? We read in history books, my teacher told me that, Sir Francis Drake did. He did, by himself. When there's no one else. So the line goes, when the Armada sank, we read that King Philip of Spain wept. And then the big question, were there no other tears? Well, those who shed those other tears, those who used their muscle, those who used their brain are the ones who built all these buildings and these bridges and dug these ditches. And they're the people I like to interview. The anonymous millions. For what it's all about.
And whom you have done such a marvelous job of interviewing. The book is Hope Dies Last by Studs Terkel, the Pulitzer Prize winning author. Studs has been on the radio since 1944, one of the greatest oral historians of our time, and it's been a true honor to talk with you, Mr. Terkel. Thank you very much for being
you,
on the Tom Hartman program
very
today.
Very much, and thank you for what you're doing, and keep it up.
We shall, and you too, please.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. What an extraordinary interview. What an extraordinary man. And the book, really, I'm not just blowing smoke here. This book is inspiring reading. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Lelandon, I believe, in New Mexico has a comment. Did I pronounce that right?
Well, Leland, but the important thing is that I wanted you to know that, and your listeners to know, a lot of us are here in New Mexico, that Michael Rupert is going to be here in New Mexico. Do you know Michael Rupert?
Yeah. Well, I don't know him personally, but I know of him, yes.
He's doing a talk on 911, oil, peak oil, and the energy crisis in Wall Street.
He has quite a video out about that that's been making the rounds in the underground, as it were.
That's right. Michael is a terrific investigative researcher. He was a part of the Los Angeles Police Department, and he's been a CIA whistleblower since way back in the 80s. So we're really looking forward to his talk, and it's going to be in Albuquerque. If anybody has any questions, please to contact me at leland@330.com. Tom, everybody appreciates your show. I'm sure Michael appreciates your show. And keep doing it. It's great.
Thank you, Leland. Thanks for the kind words, and good luck with your event there. Say hi to Michael for me. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Integrity and passion in broadcasting truth. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Do you ever wake up with back or body pain?
Oh.
Ah. When you need relief, try Extra Strength Bare Back and Body. It soothes aching backs and sore muscles with the trusted strength of Bare Aspirin, working effectively at the site of pain. Plus, it contains a special pain relief enhancer. Nothing is proven to work better than Bare Back and Body. Not Advil, not Tylenol. Don't let backaches and body pain slow you down.
Ah.
Take Bare Back and Body and get moving again, pain-free. Use as directed.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol is lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights? Priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
The Mike Molloy Show.
According to Abbas, immediately after Bush promised to speak with Sharon about the siege on Arafat, Bush said, quote, God told me to strike at Al-Qaeda, and I struck them. And then God instructed me to strike at Saddam, which I did. When God specifically whispers in someone's ear, I want you to go kill those people, and they go ahead and kill somebody, what do we do with those folks? We arrest them. They are jailed. In some instances, executed. We immediately identify them as crazy. You know, Ashcroft is going to say,
wait a second, George. God has been talking to me. God told me. Not you. God told me. These people are crazy.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday, from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Standard Time, on IE America Radio Network.
So they're coming to take me away, ha-ha.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Little village baby, it's large enough to be a town. From a little village baby, it's large enough to be a town. From the city, it's gonna bring you down. There's a voice of a silence, and a long, cool summer.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program, the pill that will help you escape the matrix, brought to you by Small Dog Electronics and the Organic Wine Company. Yesterday, I was on the airplane home on the final leg from Chicago to Burlington, Vermont. I was reading, I think it was Time. I had Time and Newsweek. I had a couple of them, and I tore this one out, and it doesn't say which corner, on the corner that I tore out, it doesn't say which name it was. But I mentioned to you some time ago that, I think I told some of you the story that, back, I don't know, 10 years ago or so, it was the year of the Olympics in Atlanta, whichever year that was. I was living in Georgia, and I had written actually a series of four novels about a private detective, and a good friend of mine who was a private detective and a former police chief, got me into the Georgia Police Academy. That was the first year and perhaps the only year that the Georgia Police Academy actually allowed civilians to come through the program because they had a shortage of security people for the Olympics. And so they were training PIs in police techniques and things. And he was able to get me in. And it was a hoot. You know, I actually have a certificate. It's not on the wall, but it's suitable for framing, that I'm a graduate of the Georgia Police Academy program in executive protection. And I saw this thing, and so, you know, I have some sense of what it costs and what's involved in training police officers, having been through it, and was a licensed private detective for 5 years in the state of Georgia. And it's, although, as I said, I never used it, I just did it to write a book about it, but in any case, $400,000, says I think News, either Time or Newsweek magazine yesterday, is what the United States government is paying. I'm not sure whether it's through Halliburton or which of the other companies that make large contributions to the Republican Party it might be. $400,000 we're paying for each U.S. trainer of Iraqi police recruits versus $53,000 for the salary of a veteran Philadelphia police officer. The world has turned itself upside down. Cronyism
has run amok in Washington. We can change this in November of next year. Be sure you're registered to vote. This is Tom Hartman. Thanks so much for joining us so far on this program. We'll be...
been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
A chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. A bomb planted on a road in the southern Iraqi city of Basra tore a minibus apart on Tuesday, killing at least three Iraqis and scattering body parts across the road. Witnesses at the scene initially thought four people had been killed due to the dismembered body parts that littered the road. Police said no British troops, who are in charge of policing Basra, were in the area at the time of the blast. A British military spokeswoman said she was aware of reports of an explosion, but had no further details. An Australian lawyer representing some of the suspects held without charge at the Guantanamo Bay military prison in Cuba claimed Wednesday that the U.S. military has tortured terrorist suspects. U.S.-based Richard Bourque, who has been working for almost 2 years on behalf of dozens of detainees at Guantanamo Bay, said American military officials were using old-fashioned torture techniques to force confessions out of prisoners. The methods clearly fell under the definition of torture under international conventions, he told Australian Broadcasting Corporation Radio in an interview from the United States. They are engaging in good old-fashioned torture as people would have understood it in the Dark Ages, he said. An unprecedented array of U.S. intelligence professionals, diplomats, and former Pentagon officials have gone on record to lambast the Bush administration for its distortion of the case for war against Iraq. A new documentary film entitled Uncovered, The Whole Truth About the Iraq War, features one powerful condemnation after another from a former CIA director, two former assistant secretaries of defense, a former ambassador to Saudi Arabia, and even the man who served as President Bush's Secretary of the Army until just a few months ago. The hour-long film was put together by Robert Greenwald, a veteran TV producer in the forefront of Hollywood's anti-war movement. Two dozen interviewees reveal how the pre-war intelligence record on Iraq showed virtually the opposite of the picture the administration painted to Congress, U.S. voters, and to the world. More after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
A California woman who found a condom in her bowl of clam chowder has sued the upscale restaurant that served it to her, saying she has suffered depression and anxiety from the shocking discovery. She said she first thought the object was a latex glove, then became physically ill when she realized what it was. An attorney for the restaurant says the eatery has no idea how the condom got into the woman's food. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
You know, you ought to check your credit report.
But I just don't have time.
I have to clean out the garage.
And take the kids to the doctor.
And balance my checkbook.
And take the dog to the vet.
And mow the lawn.
And do the grocery shop. And call the bank.
Stop. If you haven't checked your credit report, there's a fast, easy solution. Log on to freecreditreport.com and we'll show you how to find out online what's in your credit report. And get 30 days of our credit check monitoring service free. So don't say,
I'm just too busy.
Log on to freecreditreport.com today.
Walmart, the recidivist criminal, is back in trouble with the law. Jesse James, Bonnie and Clyde, and Al Capone have nothing on this notorious violator of our nation's laws and moral code of behavior. It routinely robs its nearly 1 million workers, depriving them of a fair wage and a fair chance. For example, Walmart illegally compels employees to work an extra hour or so without pay after their shift is over. More than 30 states have filed class action suits against the company for requiring this off-the-clock work. The largest sex discrimination suit ever filed in U.S. history is underway against Walmart on behalf of nearly a million women who have worked there. Walmart has been sued more times by federal authorities for discrimination against the disabled than any other corporation. Walmart has been formally cited more than 40 times in the past 5 years for using illegal tactics to deny its workers the right to join a union. Its latest legal comeuppance came recently when the feds raided 60 Walmart stores in 21 states and arrested illegal immigrants working as janitors. The workers in these cleaning crews were being paid below the minimum wage, getting as little as $2 a day working for the richest retailer in the world. Oh no, cried Walmart executives, they don't work for us, but for cleaning contractors we hire. And trust us, we had no idea that they were hiring illegal workers and paying illegal wages. This is Jim Hightower saying, what a crock. Walmart is renowned for its elaborate computer network that tracks every cost it incurs down to the penny, and for demanding that its suppliers and contractors pay the least wage possible. Plus, this is the third time in the past 5 years that Walmart has been caught pulling this same crime of using illegal cleaning crews. Not only does Walmart know what's going on, but such exploitation of workers is integral to this corporate criminal's ongoing profit plan.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in the American way from coast to coast. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Our program today brought to you by Small Dog Electronics. If you have a Macintosh, you must know about these folks. 1-800-511-MAX, M-A-C-S. Give them a call. Get their information. Check out their website. And by the Organic Wine Company, 1-888-ECO-WINE, E-C-O-W-I-N-E. Our sponsors here on the Tom Hartman program, and grateful we are for them, and proud we are to have them. Great, great companies. Oh, so much. This hour, I want to get into this question. Are Republicans hyping economic recovery the same way they did Iraq. And some fascinating stuff that I found in the European press last week that you don't see in the American press about the state of the American economy, where it's going, how it's being done, and why is it that George Bush would mortgage our grandchildren's future, not just our children. I mean, we're talking about such a huge debt, trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. There's no way you and I can pay it off. There's no way our children can pay it off. Our grandchildren are going to be hit with this thing in order to get a nice little bump in the economy, a nice little goose, so that as the 2004 election comes along, he can go, hey, look at that. I made the election. I made the economy work. We know all about the economy. Yep, them tax breaks are kicking in. Yeah, it's fine. Everything is going to be wonderful. The tragedy. The loss of America's future. And as I've said before, this isn't a conservative or liberal issue. Barry Goldwater would be as horrified by this as Tom Daschle is. This is just plain old, flat-out politics for politics' sake, irresponsibility for irresponsibility's sake, power grab for power's sake. It's just wrong. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. If you'd like to call during the program here, our last hour of Tuesday's program, the 11th of November, Armistice Day, also Veterans Day, day 120 in the search for the criminal, the traitor, the treasonous traitor who should perhaps share Julius and Ethel Rosenberg's fate within the White House. Outing a CIA agent, day 275 in the search for weapons of mass destruction, day 763 in the search for the man who sent anthrax to the only two members of the United States Senate who could have stopped the Patriot Act, Patrick Leahy and Tom Daschle, and day 789 in the search for the son of the business partner of the President of the United States, Osama bin Laden. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Billy in California is on the line. Hey, Billy, happy whatever a day. What do you call it? Do you call this Armistice Day or do you call it Veterans Day?
I call it Veterans Day. I'm not as old as you.
Yeah. And a good thing it is, right? I'm starting to get creaky here, Billy.
Okay.
What's up?
Do you want to talk about the Veterans Day issues or the economy issues?
Which we can do both if you'd like.
All right, let's quickly do some veteran stuff, and then I'll tell you that what you said about the economy is entirely correct. You know, they're talking about instituting the draft again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we talked about this last week. They're kind of quietly bringing it back, yes.
Let me make a couple suggestions about how we should be reacting to the draft.
Okay, go for it.
Number one, we live in a media-soaked and saturated country where the president and the leaders of this country can certainly get out their message when there's a war for us to fight. And if they can't sell it to 18, 19, 20-year-old idiots full of testosterone, then they ain't got a good war on their hands. That's number one.
Yeah.
You agree with that, right?
Oh, I don't disagree with it.
Yeah. How about this? This is the real crazy part. Instead of compulsory service, this is going to be shocking. What if the military was actually made attractive enough with benefits to actually pull people in who would willingly serve? Here's what I'm suggesting.
Well, you know, it actually does, Billy. I mean, there are career people in the age. Look at Wesley Clark. I mean, there are people who stay in the military throughout their careers and really like it. It's not that bad a gig, really.
But what I'm talking about is, the average man who's asked to fight and die has less health care than the citizen who instead goes to Washington and lie for us.
That's after he gets out, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, when you're in there, they've got a great health care program. I mean, the health care program that people have within the military and the pension program that you have for 20 years and out for lifers in the military are ones that should be absolutely mandatory right across the board in the United States. Very
simple. Who has better
health
care, Congress or a veteran?
Well, you know, who makes the rules, Billy? Come on.
And who dies for America?
Yeah, of course. There are five congressmen, I believe, right now who have members of the active service in their families. And
then there's dozens of chicken hawks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But see, now, Billy, I believe that we should have a draft or compulsory service at the age of 18,
sure,
right across the board, and whether people go off into the military or whether they choose to work in hospitals or build bridges replant forests or whatever, I believe that every young person in this country should give 1 year, arguably two, I think at least one,
I agree with you.
1 year to their nation.
I agree with you, but with people like George Bush in power, they'll take the people who happen to be working on the forest, if they absolutely needed them, and put them on the front line saying, we're at a point of national emergency. Remember, these people will lie and steal and kill Americans if it means another dollar for Halliburton.
Well, it's not that they will, Billy. It's that they are.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know.
But we can get each other worked up into a lather
here. We can make
it
attractive.
We should find the things we disagree about. It makes more interesting conversation.
Oh, exactly, because with the economy, the fact is you stated it exactly correctly. The givebacks right here will make for a momentary spurt in the economy and leave us with what we refer to us economists as institutional debt for this country, which means
structural
the average
debt,
American
called.
Pay more.
Yeah, structural debt. I think is what you mean. Structural.
Yeah, structural debt.
Yeah. Yeah, and the fact of the matter is that $600 check you got is going to have to be paid back not as $600. It's going to have to be paid back as more like $2,000 or $3,000 over a 20-year period, and you're going to have to be paying interest on that all during that period of time, because you know it's treasury bonds. I mean, you know, it's borrowed money. It's just that simple. If
absolutely.
If you don't
and
have
there won't, and there aren't going to be that many Americans employed well to be able to pay those fees back.
Well, maybe we'll figure out a way to tax those guys in India who are doing the jobs that they used to do at Microsoft.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's it.
Good point, Billy. Thank you for the call. It's always great to hear from you. I appreciate it. 1-800-TALK, yes, our number, 1-800-825-5937. If you have thoughts or comments, it's 15 minutes past the hour. This is Tom Hartman broadcasting live coast to coast on the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show, and the only one willing to take on Mr. Bimbo in his time slot. Angie in Portland's on the line. Angie, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
I am great, but I'll get better, and I hope the same is true of the folks in the studio, Char, and everybody else down there in Detroit. What's up, Angie?
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about when you were talking about Osama bin Laden. Oh, come on, we're not going to find him because, you know, they kind of hired Al-Qaeda to do it, you know. But, you know, I was thinking about what you guys were talking about the draft. And I have an 18-year-old who I've been putting off getting on the list, and I know I have to put him on the list or he'll be a felon. But I don't think
And mostly, you know, we went through this with our son, and he didn't want to register with Selective Service just as a matter of principle. And then it came time to get a student loan.
Right.
And they keep track of you,
right.
I can tell you that.
And if you don't do it by the age of 19, you become a felon. They're a felon.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
yeah, but they
but,
at
you know,
the moment they're
myself,
forgiving it.
My son's blood is not worth one drop for their oil. You know, I mean, I take this, to me, this is like a personal attack for me. It's like, I worked at a brewery that ended up shutting down like in 98, and the jobs went overseas. So we got NAFTA, so we had to be retrained. So I chose this great career in computer programming. So I went to school, and I got on with the government, a government job, and they want me to get a bachelor's degree. Well, when they hired me, I made like $20,000 last year. Well, my student loans to get my degree was
$18,000.
Oh, so what did I do? You know, it's like I'm going from one thing to another. So I have to get, like, my bachelor's degree out of this. And I'll probably, by the time I'm done, I'll probably owe, like, $60,000 for a job that I might not have because Bush is downsizing government. He's, like, cutting all these government jobs.
Yeah, and they're out. And all these
contracting them out.
Yeah, and all these corporations are outsourcing everything offshore as well.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, I might get this great job, supposedly. Nope, I'm going to be stuck with like $60,000 in loans, probably with no job because my job will be a temp person.
Angie, you know, there's something we can do about this.
What's that?
We can elect officials who get it. We can start asking, we can start demanding of our politicians, hey, we want you to be working for we the people, not them the corporations. Thank you very much. We are sick and tired of politics as usual.
Heck, yeah, you better believe it, because you know, you think about if here I am, I was in the middle class, I was doing pretty good at the brewery. I was making like 50 grand a year. Now I'm forced into all this retraining to be in debt, you know, going into bankruptcy. Losing my house, and what's so bad is that I would like walk away from this like supposedly good opportunity, but they check your credit now when you go to apply for a job.
Sure.
So it's like you're in a catch 22, and you know, I remember Greenspan saying something I heard the other day. I think it was on your show that they said that it's kind of good if the employees feel like threatened about leaving their job, because it like helps with them not wanting to ask for more pay.
Angie, I'll give you the exact quote. This is from the Wall Street Journal. Mr. Greenspan, for one, scrutinizes worker insecurity. He has said in recent remarks that he believes a pervasive fear of unemployment has kept wage demands modest.
There you go. There you go. And that's exactly the way that I'm thinking about all the people that I worked with at the brewery that even ended up losing their jobs, and some of them went to another brewery in Washington, which also shut down, and the jobs opened up in Canada. And it's like nobody, none of us, have been able to get a wage where we were. How many of us have lost our homes and are struggling? And I have friends. I have one friend for sure that I can.
Angie, we're almost out of time here.
Who has diabetes now and has no health insurance.
Yeah, this is terrible. We have to fix it, and the fix is going to have to be that enough of us are going to have to stand up and say, that's it, we have had enough, it is time for a change. Angie, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. I appreciate your passion. Tag, you're it. Share that with as many people as you can. Spread the good word. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
It can be, which is
why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant Maximum strikes my lines, a liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. My lance is wonderful, wet, drenching sensation,
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try Maximum Strength My Lanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Kathy. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America. Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. But don't take my word for it. Call us to get a free sampler. Yes, you heard me right, a free sampler. 2 full-size bottles delivered to your doorstep for a $10 shipping cost only. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, I was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I
want to
see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
Doug Stephan's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Well, I love a rainy night, such a beautiful sight. I love to feel the rain on my face, taste the rain on my lips. In the moonlight shadow. Showers wash all my cares away. I wake up to a sunny day, cause I love a rainy night. Yeah, I love a rainy night. Well, I love a rainy night.
And welcome back to the Truth Zone. Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We're going to talk about the different kinds of unemployment statistics out there. Did you know that the U.S. government, the Department of Labor, keeps track of different sets of statistics, and the administration, by and large, only chooses to quote one set? I'm going to tell you about the other ones in just a few minutes. First, we have Tony in Illinois on the line. He's called 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Hey, Tony, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. You are live and on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
I am great, but I'll get better. How about you, Tony?
I'm doing okay. You know, normally I'm in class teaching, but we've got the day off here in Illinois for the
holiday. Great. What do you teach?
Chemistry. High school.
In high school?
Yeah.
Hey, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. We need more enlightened high school teachers. I honor you.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. It's interesting, though, with the economy. I don't understand what's going on with the Republican Party. I remember back in 94, and I'm sure you do too, with the Contract on America. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. About one of the tenets of it was a balanced budget.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the whole balanced budget amendment thing, the fact that, you know, I remember these commercials on CNN at that time where they were talking about how if they had, didn't have a balanced budget by the year 2000 or something, you know, they showed this little cute little girl and she was going to grow up with this huge, massive amount of debt because there's no way that she could possibly afford the baby boomers who are going to be retiring. And, you know, and there would be no way she could support an income or a family on what she was going to be making. And I just wonder, what has happened to these people? You know, personally, you know, being a teacher and all, I'm very socially liberal, but I'm fiscally conservative. And I'm looking at what's going on in this country, you know, where people are going into bankruptcy. The previous lady was talking about losing her home. I mean, what's happening in this country? I mean,
well, I can tell it. I can lay it out for you, Tony. But keep on going if you want.
Well, you know, I'm just sitting here. I'm listening to all these people, you know, talk about how the economy 7.4% expansion, biggest in 20 years. And I'm sitting here. And I'm thinking, well, if you give millions of $400 checks to people, yeah, that's going to give a hyperinflated number like the one we've got. And then you hear these people talking about, oh, well, we're going to get 3%, you know, maybe in the next quarter for expansion. And they're like, okay, so where are the jobs? Yeah. Where are the jobs? You know, my wife right now, she's working for a company, you know, that they're starting to look at going to India. She works in the computer technology area here in Chicagoland. And they're looking at possibly going, sending stuff over to India.
And they will.
She went out to Washington, D.C., as a matter of fact, you know, looking at recruits from, like, Howard University. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and those kids over there, you know, people who had recently graduated, like, in May, still don't have jobs in those areas.
Yeah.
And it's just getting to be a big, big problem.
Yeah, it's not just getting to be. I mean, it's been for some time, but it's reaching the point now where it's hitting, number one, white-collar workers. I mean, you know, 10 years ago it was hitting blue-collar workers, and enough of the decision-makers and the people in the media and whatnot kind of associated more with white-collar workers. And so, you know, and Reagan busting the unions and all that kind of thing. But now it's cutting across a wider swath of America, and so we've got more and more people sitting up and taking notice. But there is a plan here at work, Tony, a very specific plan. It has a name. It's called the Two Santa Claus Effect. It was laid out back during the Reagan administration, and I'll tell you all about it right after this break. This is not an accident. This is very intentional what is going on, and it is working to the benefit of one group of people in our society, and to heck with the rest of us is basically the bottom line. Tony, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I'll lay it out for you right after this break. Preston in Denver, hang on the line. We'll pick you up after the break. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting. Stay tuned.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org. Or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
The tree of life might resemble a tangled shrub more than a mighty oak. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. The tree of life is a flowchart that biologists use to trace the evolutionary history of life on Earth. Many species branch off from a single ancestor, and even more sprout from each of those. But evolutionary biologists have discovered something that could dramatically change the shape of this tree. Jonathan Eisen is a biologist at the Institute for Genomic Research in Rockville, Maryland. Eisen studies the genetic makeup of bacteria to determine how different species are related. He says bacteria do something called lateral gene transfer. Unrelated species can simply swap genes. Eisen says that genetic mixing could make it inaccurate to depict evolutionary history as a branching tree.
If instead, as many people now think, organisms are composed of genes that have different histories, some genes from one lineage and some genes from another lineage, then we can no longer represent evolutionary history as a tree. It has to be represented as sort of a weird Escher diagram with branches branching off and then fusing with other branches later on, and then possibly a big weird shrub with open and closed branches going in all sorts of different directions.
Eisen says lateral gene transfer was discovered 5 years ago in bacteria resistant to antibiotics.
So one bacteria that is sensitive to an antibiotic can become resistant to that antibiotic by stealing genes from a completely different species of bacteria that was already resistant to that antibiotic.
Eisen says these resistant bacteria pose a challenge for the treatment of some diseases, and he says the microbial gene swapping could cause a lot of confusion among evolutionary scientists who might have to rethink the shape of the tree of life. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Dolittle, talks to the animals. And you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Zone. This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network, brought to you today by Small Dog Electronics and the Organic Wine Company. Tony in Illinois had asked the very cogent question, what is going on? What is it? What, you know, we remember when Newt Gingrich was talking about we need to have balanced budgets. Without balanced budgets, we have disasters down the road. And I mentioned this last week, and I had the article in front of me, and I have a horrible feeling it has made its way into the trash basket and is now forever lost. But it was there was a great article in the Wall Street Journal about this, 2 weeks ago or so, that had the names and times. Maybe hopefully I can find it again. And but anyway, there was somebody of some name, which escapes me, and who some 20 years ago had pointed out that the history of the Republicans since more or less FDR's New Deal, the Republicans started aggressively getting bent out of shape in the 1930s and 1940s over the fact that the Democrats were going into deficit spending in order to bring us out of the Great Depression and to pay for World War II. And there's a general consensus that a balanced budget amendment might be a dangerous thing, or at least it should have a provision that says in time of national emergency, you can spend more than you have if you have to. The government can borrow money, because there are just things you have to do. But that broadly speaking, generating huge deficits is a destructive thing. What it does over time is it destroys it. First of all, I mean, we're spending several hundred billion dollars a year. 216 sticks in my head. I'm sure it's not the right number, but that's what I recall. Several hundred billion dollars a year right now is being spent simply making payments on the interest on the national debt. That debt being held in the form of treasury bills and treasury bonds, and held mostly by wealthy people in the United States. About two-thirds of it held, or about, a little less than half, actually. I think it's between a third and a half, held by people outside the United States. As much as 20% of it actually held by central banks of foreign nations. China holds a huge chunk of it. And if they decided to dump those T-bills suddenly, they could talk about warfare. I mean, they could bring this country to its knees in 24 hours. It is what has happened in other nations when currency speculators have come in and done these sorts of things. And it certainly could happen here. And so any other Republicans were historically the party of fiscal responsibility. The conservatives were, hey, you know, we shouldn't be spending money we don't have. And this economic political thinker came along and suggested what was referred to as the two Santa Claus theory. And what he said basically was, hey, you know, the Democrats keep winning elections because they keep spending money and giving people what they want. And the Republicans keep saying, no, no, we can't have these deficits. And so the, when the Republicans get a little bit of power, they raise taxes or they cut back on the spending in order to reduce the deficits. And the Democrats just go ahead and keep on spending. And so what this person suggested was, you know, the Democrats are not any more smart or stupid than the Republicans. They've figured out this game. Why don't we just flip it around and throw it in their face? We'll become the Santa Claus. That is, we will say, hey, you can have your taxes back. You don't have to pay so much taxes. And we will borrow money from future generations and hand it to people and tell them that it's a tax cut. And the American people will buy that. They will believe that. Because there's an actual, you know, there's a reduction in their tax rate. So they think it's a tax cut. What they don't realize is they're still going to have to pay that in taxes. It's not a tax cut. It's a tax deferral. They're going to have to pay it in the future, or their children or grandchildren will have to pay. We'll call it a tax cut. It boggled my mind during the 2000 election, George Bush running around going, tax cut, tax cut, tax cut, and everybody's repeating it, and I'm thinking it's a tax deferral. I mean, what happened to these people? So so that was the first part of it, the two Santa Claus theory. Number one, you give people a cut in their taxes. And you come off as Santa Claus, and everybody says, that's great. I mean, who's going to, you know, Walter Mondale, he came out and he said, the difference between me and Ronald Reagan is that I'm going to raise your taxes and he's not. And guess who won? And, yeah, I mean, you know, it's just, you just don't win elections saying, hey, I'm going to raise your taxes. And the Wall Street Journal said this is a trap that the Republicans have laid that Howard Dean and everybody else are walking right into, is they cut taxes. And in order to be rational and responsible, you have to say, well, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to raise them. I mean, Ronald Reagan cut taxes in his second year in office, and for 6 years thereafter, every single year had to raise them to make up for the damage that he had done. And it was still so severe that George Bush Sr. was not able to keep his no new taxes pledge, and he had to raise taxes. And it was still so severe that that brought about a terrible recession during Bush's administration, the consequences of the first tax cut that Reagan had done. And finally, somebody came along with the courage to do something about Bill Clinton, didn't he? Raised taxes to the point where we were actually paying our bills. And look what happened. Prosperity. So George Bush comes along and he does the first half of the two Santa Claus theory. He cuts everybody's taxes and throws us into a deficit. And the second half is he just keeps on spending all kinds of money. This is an article from The Economist, November 8th, 2003. I picked up in Germany yesterday. I just want to read you a couple little pieces, and then we'll get to a couple phone calls here. America's fiscal position has deteriorated fast during George Bush's presidency. It will not be easy to reverse. That's the headline. And I'm just going to read you a few little clips here. This is from page 24 of The Economist, an article called A Flood of Red Ink. For all his rhetoric about keeping Washington in check, Mr. Bush, as one Republican analyst puts it, has been spending like a drunken sailor. Defense spending has jumped 27% in real terms, but non-military discretionary spending, I'm jumping around here, has risen by 21%. Mr. Bush has merrily accepted spending bills stuffed with local pork. Now, this, of course, is to help his local Republican guys win local elections. It's all about, and none of it is about what's good for the nation. It's all about power. Let's get elected. They go on to say the combination of a sharp economic slowdown, high tax cuts, and higher spending has transformed America's budget. Now, how has it transformed the budget? In the short run, The Economist says, America's fiscal shift has been dramatic but hardly dangerous. The medium-term picture is a different matter, however. If you look carefully, but it shows, if you look carefully, what a mess America's finances are in. They go on to say the Congressional Budget Office expects a deficit of $1.4 trillion over the next decade. That's the number everybody quotes, the Congressional Budget Office. And then they go on to say, yet these official projections and similar ones by the White House bear no resemblance to reality. The CBO, Congressional Budget Office, is forced by law to make extremely implausible assumptions, both about taxes and spending. The White House does so because it suits Mr. Bush's political purposes. No fiscal expert believes either of them. And they end the article by saying, if the spending patterns of the past 5 years are continued, the deficit soars by a whopping $3.3 trillion. And they talk at length about the kind of damage that's going to do to America. So now we've got the situation reversed, where the Republicans, the Democrats, are in a position where if they have to be they have chosen to be the responsible ones, because it's really what's best for the nation. And will it win them the election? It all depends on how many people in America we can wake up. You and me, we have to spread the word. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. Oh, and your answer, Tony in Illinois, the answer to what has happened is that corporations are outsourcing jobs. That's NAFTA and WTO. It's good for corporations, and so George W. gets more campaign contributions. We need to put an end to that. We need to back out of WTO just like we backed out of the arms treaties and out of the Kyoto Agreement. We can break one treaty, we can break a whole bunch of them. But that's a whole other rant. I don't want to go into the whole thing. But anyhow, 1-800-TALK-YES, our number. And Preston in Denver has been patiently waiting on the line. Thank you, Preston, for waiting. Welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, thank you, Preston.
Thank you very much. Very much enjoying the discussion. And actually, I also like one of your sponsors. I love that you have an organic winemaker as one of your sponsors.
Oh, they're incredible. We have been buying their wine for years. I don't want to sound like too much of a wino, but they're great people. Some of their grapes are actually grown on their own home vineyard, and in France, it's French wine, so you can thumb your nose at Bill Riley while you're buying them. And in France, in order for something to be considered organic, the soil has to be organic for 25 years.
Yeah.
This is the real stuff.
Yes, right on. And that's an interesting part of our economy that's developing, kind of the organic food and drink movement. I live right across the street from a Wild Oats grocery store, and it's a chain that has that supports a lot of organic family farms around the country, and it's been a good development. Yeah. And also, I was wondering if you were familiar with the green festivals that took place recently in Austin and San Francisco.
I'm not.
That very interesting gathering organized by groups like Global Exchange and Co-op America.
And great organizations.
Yes, indeed. Cliff Bar, one of the energy bar people, they put a lot of money behind it. And they gathered to hear lectures from people like Jim Hightower and Greg Palast and Medea Benjamin. And they did the education part, and then they also had vendors. From small farmers to big companies like Toyota was there, kind of displaying their new hybrid car, which is a very positive technological development.
You mean the Toyota Prius?
Yes.
I own one. I drive one.
Oh, good.
Right on.
And is it true that something like you get twice as good mileage and only 90% of the emissions are exhausted? Is that right?
Well, I haven't measured the emissions, but we average 54 miles to the gallon, and right. We live in the mountains.
Great, that's great, fantastic. Also, if people want to read about the Green Festivals, greenfestivals.com, they have a website, and I'm sure they're going to be organizing some more for next year. So you might want to check that out. But I also saw in Yes Magazine, a very interesting journal, a small bit about how the Canadian House of Commons recently passed a motion that encourages development of a set of indicators of the economic, social, and environmental well-being of people, communities, and ecosystems in Canada. Mm-hmm. And they're hoping to look beyond GDP measurements because, GDP can include crime, sickness, war, clean up.
Oh, somebody
pollution.
Gets cancer, GDP goes up.
Right. So the Canadian House of Commons is looking into, a more holistic perspective on the economy, where the growth is coming from, what we're not investing in that maybe we should be investing in, and that kind of thing, and labor conditions. It sounds like we need to do a lot of kind of cross-border labor solidarity in the future, and I know there's a big protest coming up in Miami in the next couple of weeks to try to facilitate that networking that needs to go on. And also within
the bottom line, Preston, is the only thing that stands between you and me and corporate feudalism, a complete corporate feudal takeover. That is, you know, traditionally the three types of tyranny: kingdoms, theocracies, and feudalisms, feudal lords. Feudalism is basically rule by the rich, and the only thing that stands between you and me and corporate feudalism is organized labor. And that's it. I mean, corporations can organize with impunity in all kinds of different forms, whether they're chambers of commerce or whether they're you know, conglomerations, corporations buying corporations. But individuals organizing, try that at your local Walmart. We really need to be supporting the international labor movement. I think it's one of the only hopes of maintaining democracy, frankly. Pardon my interrupting you.
No, it was great. And we also need to be supporting our media outlets. I think what you all are doing at IE America is fantastic, and I was thrilled to see that Marianne Williamson is going to be a host as well. And actually, I wrote a letter to a magazine called World Watch. You might want to check it out. It's an environmental magazine.
Oh, I know it. I know Ed Ayers is a good friend. He's the editor.
Great.
The senior editor. Yeah.
Well, I mentioned you all in that letter, and I think if we just do a lot of that, just simple stuff of communicating things to people in corporations as well, because they're not monolithic, and there are a lot of people, you know, there are neighbors and our family members working in these institutions, and, you know, there's a lot of potential for transformation even of that institution and so forth. But anyway, I'd just like to hear what some of your other callers have to say. And
great.
Again, thank you so much for all that you're doing.
Well, thank you, Preston, for the call. I appreciate it very much. One of the things to keep in mind with regard to your letter is that one of the ways that the American Revolution was fought and won, and one of the ways that the women's suffrage movement and the abolition movements got so large was by committees of correspondence, people getting together and writing letters to their local media, to their newspapers and whatnot. And, you know, it was one of the most effective ways, and so I encourage people to do the same. Shar, I heard you just mention that I have a caller. I don't see it up on the screen. Who's on the line? Hey, Mark from Iowa. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. We've only got about a minute left here, Mark. What's up?
Not too much. Happy Veterans Day.
Thank you, and the same to you.
I'm a veteran myself, 5 and a half in the Navy, and just called to talk about basically how the adverse effects really that we've really seen from the Telecommunications Act of 1996, and it just really is unbelievable to me to how many people can't seem to wake up to just how journalists no longer are patriots here in America, or at least they don't seem to be.
Mark, we lost you there. I'm not sure what happened. But the bottom line is that what's happened is that journalism has become entertainment in America. It's a real tragedy. Thanks for the call. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817. The Washington Monthly.
think people are more important than corporations, you need to see the Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free, 1-800-205-7067, or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067, or populist.com, or the Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
The Mike Molloy Show.
We are very lucky tonight to have joining us from California, Geneva, BartCop.com's resident astrologer. Can you tell us anything about George W. Bush's chart?
There was a lot of stuff in his chart. He's got a lot of aspects on his own that would indicate that he would be easily maneuvered into being a puppet, a front man for people who had more of a scheme in mind like that.
He is a very weak man when you get right down to it, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Extremely weak-willed. What sort of looming obstacles might keep Bush from being reelected? Is he going to face some sort of impeachment, criminal charges? Can you elaborate?
Well, that would be nice. I mean,
it would.
If they did it to Clinton with as little as they had to go on.
Oh, my God.
Why not?
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
The Marianne Williamson Show, Monday through Friday from 3 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Marianne Williamson, and Thursday's show is about America's kids. Join me and join my guest, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of Michigan, Maura Corrigan, and David Kessler, who is the father of two adopted children from the foster care program in Los Angeles County, talking about adoption and foster care in the United States.
All day, all night, Marianne.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
From the conservative weapons of mass deception. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Our program today produced by Louise Hartman here in Vermont and Joe McPherson down in Atlanta and engineered by the extraordinary Shar Jones in Detroit at IE America Main Studios. The Bush administration, a new plan. I'm going to tell you more about this tomorrow, but I just want to read you one sentence out of the Wall Street Journal, this new tax plan. Quote, it would affect a broad swath of taxpayers, but would be a special boon to the wealthy who now are barred from most federal tax-exempt plans, but would benefit from the new ones, end quote. All about that tomorrow. Jeff from Washington, D.C. is on the line. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, actually, it's from Denver. But
I'm sorry, Jeff from Denver.
Yeah. Hey,
couple things. One is about the deficit. I've only heard this a couple times, but the deficit is actually about $250 billion more than they report, as far as I'm aware. Fritz Hollings,
right, because they're not including the Social Security Trust Fund.
Yeah. There's actually a recording available on the web at Fritz Hollings' website of him talking to Mitch Daniels and Mitch Daniels admitting it publicly.
Oh, really?
I'll put a link to, I'm going to put a link in your message board in about 5 minutes to that.
Great. I'll play it tomorrow.
Yeah. And the other thing about the GDP, there's another thing out there called the Genuine Progress Indicator that a lot of people have proposed. If you just did a search for Genuine Progress Indicator on Google, you'll find a number of sites such as ourprogress.org. Mm-hmm. And that measures 23 things the GDP ignores, such as volunteerism, takes away, subtracts things such as crime and so forth.
Hmm, a quality of life indicator, really.
Yes, so it's a GPI.
Yeah.
And that's been around at least since 1995. I think
that's great.
Much earlier than that.
If you track down an articulate spokesperson for it or whoever founded it, you know, post that on our message board or drop me an email at tom@tomhartman.com.
Yeah.
I would love to have somebody on who really can speak with some depth about it.
Yeah, I've heard some good stuff on the radio about this before, so I'll give you the information.
Yeah.
But, a lot of people just don't realize that every time there's a major disaster, the hurricanes are wonderful for the GDP.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Any kind of... And wars. I mean, look, look at what wars do. Jeff, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. This is Tom Hartman. Thanks for joining us today. And tune in tomorrow, same time, same place.
Tiananmen Square. It's coming from a field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the...
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
It was, Nancy in the background.
Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America.